Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining me at Powell Chapel Memorial Center Lesson, The Resurrection Key to Faith Review. This lesson is provided by retired pastor William H. Smith from Powell Chapel Memorial Center in Plaster, Tennessee. The Resurrection Key to Faith, we start off by reading Mark verses 1 through 8. This is taken from the King James Bible version. Verse 1, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, he came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Although Mark's Gospel is the shortest of the four, its narrative packs a punch. Students frequently call it the Gospel of Action. This designation stems from the fact that Mark jumps quickly from scene to scene to chronicle Jesus' ministry. The Gospel's description of the last week of Jesus' ministry highlights its inclination toward action. Of the nearly 700 verses of the Gospel, 241 of them, more than 3/3 of the gospel recount events from that week, taken from Mark 11:1 through Mark 16:8. In describing scenes from the week, the gospel jumps quickly between the scenes. Mark tells us how Jesus entered Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, from Mark 11:1-11, and taught others regarding righteousness. Mark 11:12-25 and Mark 12:28-34. He ate a final meal with his disciples in Mark 14:12-31 before he was arrested, according to Mark 14:43-52. And he was tried in Mark 14:53-65, Mark 15:1-15. Finally, he was crucified and killed at the hands of Roman soldiers. Mark 15:16-41. Joseph of Arimathea, a member of the Sanhedrin, approached Pontius Pilate. He asked for Jesus' body. It's in Mark 15:43. Before granting the request, Pilate wanted confirmation that Jesus was truly dead. as it's stated in 44 through 45. There was to be no doubt on the part of Pilate that Jesus was indeed dead. Once Pilate received the verification, Joseph took Jesus' body and prepared it for the burial. To begin the burial proceedings, Joseph wrapped Jesus' body in linen. Joseph then placed the body in a rock tomb sealed with a stone. After the burial, two women observed the burial location. They would return after Sabbath to finish caring for Jesus' body. Here's questions and answers. Excuse me, please. Question one. Who were the women who returned to Jesus' tomb after the Sabbath to complete the burial process? That's seen in Mark 16, verse 1. Jesus died the day of preparation for the Sabbath. The law of Moses prohibited work on the Sabbath, as it states in Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11, Leviticus 23, verse 3. Therefore, the burial process, see less in context, would have to wait until the Sabbath was passed. The task of treating the body of Jesus would fall to the women, some of whom were at the crucifixion, as stated in Mark 15, verse 40, John 19, and 20, verse 25, and subsequently, as seen the tomb's location in Mark 15, 47, compared to Matthew 27, verse 61, and Luke 23, verses 55 and 56. The name Mary was common in the first century A.D. The Gospels mention several women named Mary, so it is easy to confuse them. One of the women with that name was Mary Magdalene, who became a devoted follower of Jesus after he freed her from spiritual oppression. See Luke chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. The designation Magdalene was not a family name. Instead, it indicates that she likely came from the town of Magdala. Compare Matthew 15, verse 39. The second Mary is unknown to us. One possibility is that she is the mother of James, the less, and of Joseph. Mark 15, verse 40, and verse 47. Another possibility is that she was the wife of Cleopas, John 19, verse 25. Matthew's account of the burial mentions a woman who is the mother of Zebedee's children. Matthew 27, verse 56. This woman could be Salome, thus making her the mother of James and John. Compare 421 to Mark 15, verse 40. Sweet spices combated the sense of deceiving flesh, look at John 11, 39. These treatments were an essential part of the burial process. Chapter 19, verses 39 through 40. The women prepared these things before the Sabbath, which you can read in Luke chapter 23, verses 55 and 56. They waited for the conclusion of the day of rest to return to the grave and anoint the remains of Jesus. Deeper digging, in what ways will you show devotion to the Lord, even if doing so requires personal discomfort? How can you encourage that level of devotion among other believers? Remember these questions. Think on it. Reflect. Get your hearts and minds. Tell the truth. Go deep within. Question two. What primary concern did the women have as they made their way to Jesus' tomb? As it is in verses 2 and 3 of Mark 16. In verse 2, the phrase, very early in the morning and at the rising of the sun, revealed the eagerness of the women to complete their task. We assume that they were set out just before sunrise in the dim pre-dawn light. Compare John 20, verse 1. The women were confident of their destination, having been there 2 days earlier. He comments in Mark 16, verse 20. When the women seemed to have forgotten up to this point, is that a massive disc shaped stone sealed the entrance of the grave. As it states in Matthew 27, verses 60 and 61, Mark 15, verses 46 and 47, several strong individuals will be needed to roll it away from the entryway. The women's question reveals that they belatedly realized that they would not be able to move it. The women's question also reveals the attitudes and behaviors of Jesus' followers. The disciples fled at Jesus' arrest, Mark 15, verse 40. Peter, in particular, denied having known Jesus, and that is found in John chapter 18, verses 15 through 18, and verses 25 through 27. Others hid out of fear for what might happen to them. Compare it to chapter 20, verse 19. Because of their grief, shame, and fear, some of Jesus' followers had distanced themselves from being associated with him. Contrast chapter 19, verses 38 through 42. They would not be of any help in removing the stone from the door of the sepulcher. Question 3. What surprise regarding the stone did the woman find when they arrived at the tomb? Read Mark 16. When the women arrived at the tomb, they saw that the stone was rolled away. The gospel accounts of Mark, Luke, and John do not reveal how the stone was rolled away. They only report that the stone was no longer blocking the tomb's entrance when the women arrived there. In Luke 24, verse 2, and John 20, verse 1, states that too. And Matthew, however, discloses that the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. It says in Matthew 28, verse 2. The massive nature of the very great stone is also noted in Matthew 27, verse 60. Question 4. What did the women see upon entering the tomb? That is found in Mark 16, verse 5. When they entered the tomb, the women saw a young man sitting on the right side. Mark's gospel does not provide further identifying information regarding the young man sitting clothed in a long white garment. However, we can determine his nature from the other gospel accounts. In Matthew 28, verse 2, it describes him as an angel of the Lord. Luke identifies two men in shining garments, Luke 24, who are angels, verse 24 and 23. John 20, verse 12 is similar. Scripture often describes heavenly beings in terms of the brightness of the garments. Examples are given in Matthew 17, verse 2, Matthew 28, verse 3, Mark 9, verse 3, Luke 9, verses 29 and 30, Acts 1, verse 10. The women came to the tomb to care for the body of Jesus. Instead of seeing his body, they saw an unknown visitor. The sight of this mysterious person would have been a valid reason for the women to feel afraid. Question 5. How did the angel respond to the women's fear? Look at Mark chapter 16, the upper portion of verse 6. Fear is a common reaction to seeing an angelic messenger. Some examples are in Judges chapter 13, verses 21 and 22, Matthew 28, verse 4, Acts 10, verses 3 and 4, or supernatural occurrence examples, Mark 4, 41, Mark 5, verse 15, Mark 9, verses 4 through 6. When this occurs, a form of the reminder to be not afraid usually follows. Examples, Judges 6, 21 and 23, through 23, excuse me, Daniel chapter 10, verses 10 through 12, and verse 19. Luke chapter 1, verses 11 to 13, verse 30, chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. The angel told them not to be afraid and that he knew they were looking for Jesus in Nazareth. The angel's designation, Jesus of Nazareth, referred to the location of Jesus' upbringing. The village of Nazareth was located about 70 miles north of Jerusalem in the hilly region west of the Sea of Galilee. Residents of that village were likely impoverished. As a result, others held them in low regard. Look at John chapter 1, verse 46. Jesus' parents were from Nazareth, Luke 2, verse 4. And the family returned there after Jesus' birth, in Matthew 2, verses 21 to 23. Jesus remained in Nazareth until he began his public ministry. Chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. Question 6. What did the angel proclaim? This is in Mark chapter 16, 6b. The angel announced that Jesus was not there because he was risen. The angel's proclamation that Jesus is risen does not mean that his spirit went to heaven, leaving behind his dead body. The empty tomb reveals that his physical body was resurrected from the dead. His post-resurrection appearances provided further evidence of his reality. You can see in Luke 24, verses 37 to 39, and John chapter 20, verse 27. The resurrection should not have come as a surprise to his followers. Jesus had prophesied to them numerous times regarding his death and resurrection. Examples is Mark chapter 8, verse 31, Mark chapter 9, verse 9, Mark 9, verse 31, Mark 10, verses 33 to 34. However, his disciples rarely understood his teaching on this topic. See Mark 9, verses 10 and verse 32. The command to behold that place where Joseph had laid him indicated that the tomb no longer contained the body of Jesus. Deeper digging. How would you respond to the claim that belief in the bodily resurrection of Jesus is non-essential for Christians? How did John chapter 20, verses 24 through 25 and verse 29, Acts 2, verses 22 to 24, Romans chapter 4, verse 25, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, inform your response. Here's question 7. What message were the women instructed to give to the disciples? That is found in Mark chapter 16, verse 7. The command to go and tell of the risen Lord indicates a change in emphasis from Mark in his gospel. He frequently mentioned time when Jesus urged others to be silent regarding his identity and work. In Mark chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, in Mark chapter 5, verses 42 to 43, Mark 7, verse 36, Mark 8, verses 29 to 30, and Mark 9, verses 18 to 20. Now that Jesus' resurrection had occurred, his followers would not need to remain silent about him. See Mark 9, verse 9. Jesus' disciples had lied, had fled at his arrest. Read Mark 14, verse 50. On that occasion, they were concerned for their safety. Rather than punish the disciples for leaving Jesus, the angel's message offered them a chance to reunite with their Lord. The angel showed particular attention to Peter by naming him specifically as a special word of encouragement to Peter, who was no doubt grieving in his sins. This apostle was known to his for his position of prominence, being named first in all the lists of the apostles. In Matthew 10, verses 2 to 4, Mark chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, Luke 6, verses 14 through 16, Acts chapter 1, verses 13 through 14, and for his impulsive behavior, examples is Mark chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, John chapter 13, verses 1 through 11. He had confidently proclaimed fidelity to Jesus, even if it led him Mark chapter 14, verses 29 to 31. Later that same night, however, Peter three times denied knowing Jesus, as it says in Mark 14, 66 to 72. Later, when Peter received the woman's report, he still had to see the empty tomb for himself, Luke 24, verses 11 and 12. Before Jesus' arrest, he had prophesied that his disciples would be offended and scattered, Mark chapter 14, verse 27. In the same breath, however, he promised, "After that, I am risen. I will go before you into Galilee." That is Mark chapter 14, verse 28. The angel's message to the women indicated the pending fulfillment of Jesus' promises. The selection of Galilee as the location of this promised reunion was made with intent. Jesus began his public ministry there. See Mark chapter 1, verses 9, verse 14. It was in that region that he called his first disciples, 16 through 20. The angel's message sent the apostles back to where the relationship with Jesus began. Question 8. How did the women respond to the angel's command, and what were their emotions? That is in Mark chapter 16, verse 8. Three strong emotions overwhelmed the women as they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher. The feelings were decidedly mixed. Verse 8 is the only verse in the New Testament where the Greek words for trembled, amazed, and afraid occur together. How intensely natural and simple is this? The women were the first messengers of the glorious resurrection message. Deeper digging. How do you deal with feelings of fear that may arise when sharing the news of Jesus' resurrection? Who can you recruit as an accountability partner to encourage your faith? Here's a conclusion. Singular event. The scripture text for the current lesson abruptly ends with a declaration of the women's fear. If this were all we knew in the story, we would wonder what happened next. Praise God that we know the conclusion to the story, a story that continues with Jesus' ascension to heaven, as it shows in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and will culminate with his promised return to earth in Revelation 22, verse 20. The resurrection of Jesus is a singular event in history. It is distinct from other resurrections in the Bible. Example, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 32 through 37, Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 15, Luke chapter 8, verses 49 through 56, John chapter 11, verses 38 through 44. Those were instances of the temporary restoration of physical life. Temporary because all those people died again later. The resurrection of Jesus, by contrast, is permanent. That permanence has vital implications. Death is God's penalty for sin, as it is stated in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Also in Romans 5, verse 12. But now, the risen Jesus holds the keys of hell and of death in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Another characteristic that sets Jesus' resurrection apart from the others noted above is that his body was transformed, not merely resuscitated. After his resurrection, he appeared and disappeared in ways he had not done previously. Check out Luke 24, verse 31, Luke 24, verse 36, and verse 51. John, chapter 20, verses 19 and 26. Although he still had a physical body that other people could touch, as it showed in Luke 24, verse 37 through 43, John 20, verse 27. The transformation of Jesus' body prefigures the promised transformation of those who belong to him when we are raised at the last day. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 through 57. Vital reality. From our vantage point, some 2,000 years later, the empty tomb is the universal image of Christ's victory over death. The women who found the open tomb that morning had prepared themselves to be confronted with death. Instead, they were confronted with the announcement of life. The reality of death confronts all, and we prepare for it. We help friends and family members with funeral planning. We purchase cemetery plots. But the best spiritual preparation is to let our thoughts dwell on resurrection life. Jesus has promised that what was accomplished in him on the third day when he rose from the dead will also be accomplished in us when he returns. The power of life over death that he demonstrated for himself is the same power that will instantly and forever transform us. Philippians 3:21. Jesus is Lord over death, having conquered it. That makes him Lord over eternal life, our eternal life. Therefore, as we prepare for death, we keep in mind the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. It's stated in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26. Death is our enemy, but it is ultimately a defeated enemy. When Jesus returns, we all get changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Death will be no more. Consider the ending to verse 8 as an invitation to proclaim the good news of the resurrected Christ. The women at the tomb that morning ran in fear. Our task today is to run in joy with the message of the empty tomb. May we ever proclaim Christ's victory over death. May we never lose sight of the fact that his victory is ours as well for eternity. Death could not permanently silence Jesus or obstruct God's plan. Will fear silence you from sharing the good news? It's a thought to remember. Fear not. Jesus is risen. It's resurrection. Is key to faith. The next lesson is faith of the persistent. It summarizes the actions of a group of men to overcome obstacles to get a sick friend to Jesus. Study Luke chapter 5 verses 17 through 26. Thank you for listening, and may God bless y'all. Don't lose hope. Just go with everyone. Care of us. Just for your love, grace, and mercy. Christ, precious, and holy name. Amen.